Waddle and Sylvie. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
From the 2, the ground again. Touchdown. Tevin Coleman takes it in. His second rushing touchdown of the game. And so the Sherman interception.
Just a little trap from the backside. Going to come over here and make this block here. But that was just a gut check. I mean, you could almost smell it. You could tell that Kyle Shanahan said, we've got them on their heels. We're going to press this advantage.
I mean, it was awesome. I mean, we had one drive where we literally didn't pass the ball, came off to the sideline, and I mean, it was as excited as we've ever been offensively. And when you can do that to a team, it makes it tough on defenses when they have to bring more guys into the box, start bringing safeties down. I don't know, we ran the hell out of the ball, and those guys up front battled their ass off today. It was fun.
There's Jimmy G, Chicago's very own. We're all going to be, I think most of us are going to be 49ers fans this week. I mean, it is the Packers going to San Francisco. And we would all love to see Robbie Gould kick that team to another Super Bowl.
Amen, brother.
And he's been there once. And friend of the show, Robbie Gould, taking time out of his busy schedule to join us before the NFC Championship game. Hey, Robbie, how you feeling?
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're good. I don't know where to start because it could be a little awkward because Waddle raves about your head coach's football horn.
I mean, his play calling is, and I don't mean to offend anyone. I've called it football pornography. His ability to game plan and actually call plays on Sunday. Are you as enamored with Kyle Shanahan as I am as a play caller?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously he's our X factor. Not only is he a great leader as a head coach, but I think if you look at how our season has gone and, you know, through the middle part of the season, we had a lot of guys that were banged up, and he finds ways to utilize players in a lot of different positions and be able to stack plays on top of each other to get the play that he needs to make a big play, or find ways to put the special teams and defense in better situations. And he's been born and raised in the National Football League with his dad, and it's kind of unique to be able to be a part of his coaching career and watching him put his own stamp on the National Football League. And, you know, we got a good opponent in the Green Bay Packers coming in here, and I know he'll be ready to call a great game, and we're just excited to be where we're at right now.
I know, Robbie, a lot of teams say, hey, we always expected this. We had great expectations entering the year. But the last time we talked to you when you got the contract done, did you think that you would be playing for the NFC Championship?
Well, I thought we'd have a really good football team. You know, we put some really good pieces on defense at a solid core of guys that we had drafted and brought some guys in. And, you know, I thought we'd definitely be really competitive on defense, special teams. We got a good core, and offensively with Kyle and Jimmy and the way the guys are running the football, and we commit to running it, and Kyle's offensive mind, I thought we'd, you know, have a chance to do something special. And we're here now, we're in the moment, and the guys, we've won games with defense, we've won games with offense, we've won games with special teams, we've won games everyone playing together, we've played 2 of the 3. I mean, it's just been a unique year to find us sitting where we're at, having won football games, and how John and Kyle built this team to win a bunch of different ways against a bunch of different teams, whether you're scoring 50 points against a really good New Orleans Saints team, or you're winning 9-0 in a swamp and in a rain game in Washington, you know. So like I said, we're excited. We're really excited for the opportunity to play in the NFC Championship, and we know we're going to get a great opponent. And Aaron Rodgers coming in, and they're going to give us their best shot. And we know it's going to be a dogfight for sure.
Robbie, people talk about momentum. Some people believe in it; other people don't. You guys have been outstanding, especially down the stretches. Guys got healthy, and everything kind of rounded into form. Do you just have that feeling inside that locker room that everything's pointing? I think you talked a little bit about it. Everything's pointing in the right direction. And instead of waiting for something bad to happen, you guys know that something good is going to happen.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of momentum. Obviously, you know, on any given Sunday, any team can get beat, you know, and it comes down to who's going to execute their game plan in the best way possible, who's not going to get penalties at critical times, who's going to come up with a critical play down the stretch. And, you know, a big part of, the playoffs is there's a bunch of different ways to win. And, you know, obviously teams have done it as a six seed and teams have done it as a one seed. And that's why you play the game on every Sunday. So we know that, you know, we've been in tight games and won them. We've been in tight games and lost them. We've been in games where we've won by, you know, 35 points. It's just, you have to understand that in this league, there's never a too high, there's never a too low. You just have to make sure that you make the next play. And, you know, I think our guys, as young as we are, and have done a great job of that. And the key pieces that we've added, like Quan Alexander and D Ford, and added them with Sherman and Fred Warner and Nick Boza in the draft. And you got guys like Defoe and Eric Armstead in the front line, you know, leading the charge. These are guys that are changing the perception of our team as what it's been in years past, for sure.
Speak about yourself as well. I know that you were dealing with an injury earlier in the season. I think you were dealing with some new personnel with regard to snapping and holding. But since coming back from that injury, you certainly have found your groove.
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting year. I think it's been a learning year, for sure. I think, you know, we've had four snappers in here early on in 6 weeks. And then we got Kyle Nelson back. I think like week seven, I got hurt coming out of the bye week. And sometimes, you know, when you get injured, other things kind of lead to helping your technique. And I think we've been able to grow as a group because there hasn't been much personnel change, obviously at the long snapper position. And, you know, the guys up front have been doing a great job blocking. And, you know, it's not the season that I would say that I expected or that I'm used to. But at the end of the day, I know that, you know, the guys worked really hard and put ourselves in a position to be ready to do something special and help the team win as best as possible. And, you know, I'm just happy to see that Mitch, who's a rookie punter, has done great. And as a holder, is, you know, starting to hit our rhythm with our long snapper. And, you know, the guys up front have done a great job blocking, for sure.
When you reflect on 2019, Robbie, I mean, you started out and your future was uncertain. And then you got the deal. And then you come out and you go through everything you just mentioned. And then you get hurt. But then here you are, NFC Championship game. How do you sort of sum up the year you just went through?
You think you learn everything and kind of gone through everything in your career at 15 years in the National Football League, you know, and I could say that I haven't been through four snappers in a season. So I think that was a learning experience for me, for sure. I was kicking a lot, trying to find a rhythm and finding a tempo with a different guy every couple weeks. And we worked really hard at it, and that probably led to over kicking, which probably led to an injury. Right. And, you know, for me, I think if I sum up what this year looks like is, you know, an experience that I'll be able to lean on like I did in years past of other things that have happened in my career. And I'll be able to know to make that change quicker, to not make the same mistake, and put myself in a position to be successful and help a team win. And, you know, I think, you know, to be able to be in the NFC Championship with an opportunity to play against a team that I'm very familiar with, who has a great quarterback, and, you know, there's a lot of connections between our team and their team, family related, and as well as friends and all that. You know, it's, for me, it's unique. And last time I was in the playoffs was with the Giants, and we lost in the first round to Green Bay. And, you know, I know that they're a really good playoff football team. So it should be an exciting game on Sunday, and I'm excited to get out there. And I'm already, it's Tuesday, and I'm already ready to play.
That's awesome. Robbie Gold joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I didn't remember that about the Giants, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the last playoff game that you played with the Bears also against the Packers? So this
yeah,
is this
NFC
is
championship.
What do you remember about that game?
You know, we had it was an interesting game. Jay, I think, got hurt, and then we brought in I want to say Ty Collins is QB as a backup, and then we end up playing Caleb Haney. And we threw an interception, lost 21-14 on a middle screen play that they just had not given us that look or had that look on film. So we were in the game, it was 21-14. They were the 16. They were playing really well. It was a hard-fought game, and we just came up on the short end of, obviously, that game, and they went on to win the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I know it sounds like a cliche, but tell me if you actually feel this way. Do you appreciate these moments the older you get?
Yeah, as my career here is coming to an end, probably over the next several years, I've learned to appreciate that these moments don't come all the time, right? And being in the National Football League for 15 years, playing in my fifth playoff, having the ability to be in my third NFC championship, having a brother who coaches in Denver and won a Super Bowl, having been in a Super Bowl and lost, you know, you understand that these are special and you enjoy the ride and you enjoy it with your family, you enjoy it with your teammates, you enjoy it with the organization you're with. And at the end of the day, you know, you go out there and put, just like I've done all my career, you know, I've worked my butt off, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's watching film, whether it's kicking in practice during the week, whether it's looking at situations to be ready for. You know, these are times that all of that study habits, the work, the preparation, the massages, all that now is what, this is why you do that. And these are the moments that you have to enjoy, and hopefully we'll be in the Super Bowl, and hopefully we win that as well.
At the age of 37, do you still get nervous when you line up for a big kick?
You know what? I don't ever really get nervous because I truly, like, you know, it's funny, and I said this when I came back here to San Francisco, is, you know, there's nothing, a situation that I haven't been in, and there's nothing that really shakes my confidence. It's just a matter of knowing that everything that I do leading up to the week, I put myself in situations that are going to be harder than the game. And I have a way bigger expectation for myself than anybody else will ever have for me. And, you know, when you have that kind of mentality and confidence, you get excited about playing on Sundays. You get fired up to go out there and play and know that there's something special that you can achieve. And I think my teammates have done that all year, and it's fun to watch young guys grow up and see them making plays. And, you know, you talk about a guy like Drake Greenlaw, who's a rookie who makes a goal line stand against Seattle, like gives us the bye week to get healthy,
right,
and get some guys back on our defense. You know, you see guys like Emmanuel Mosley, an undrafted free agent, playing corner for us and making the big plays all year. And, you know, it's fun to see those young guys have success, and remembering that at least when I was 24 years old with hair, that I was probably that same guy, right? So, you know, I'm happy for these guys. I'm happy for the guys who have been around the organization, who have been through kind of two tough years. And it's exciting to be in this moment.
And
for sure.
Robbie Gould joining us. And I love reliving some of those memories that you had at a very young age going to a Super Bowl with the Bears. We've gotten the version of the story from many different people, from Devin himself, from Tony Dungy, told us about how he actually kicked it to Denver. The last time you were in the Super Bowl was with the Bears as a young player. What do you remember being on the sideline when Indy decided to kick it to Devin?
Well, I was like, holy cow, we're going to win a Super Bowl. This is going to be unbelievable. You know, like, I don't think it's ever happened in the history of the game that the opening kick had went back. And, you know, we figured that if we could play really well on special teams and defense, our offense had the best running game in the NFL that season. And I knew we were going to run the ball with Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson and one heck of an O-line. And, you know, we did that pretty well. We just didn't get it done at the end. And, you know, I had the one costly turnover towards the end that kind of put the nail in the coffin. But I think, you know, you talk about a team. I saw Lovey out here at the Red Box Bowl, which was at Levi Stadium. And we were just reminiscing about that team and how great of a group of guys there was. And, you know, the guys still stay in touch. They go down and see him at Illinois. And, you know, guys are still hanging out. You'll see him on social media all the time, going places. Yeah, that group was a family, and I think those are the teams like this one that I'm on now will be something that these guys will always kind of hang out. They'll be friends. Their kids will hang out together. You know, Jason McKee's now, you know, the head coach at a high school, Carmel High School, and, you know, watching him, you know, now become a coach and maybe putting guys in the National Football League is, you know, you get excited for those guys, and you get excited for your old teammates to be doing something that, you know, you work so hard for in the locker room, but now they're doing something to impact kids and families' lives, and that's pretty unique to be able to have a team like that and still stay in touch.
And how cool would it be for you? I mean, you would take a ring no matter how it would happen, but if you could finally beat the Packers to get to the Super Bowl, then beat Dave Tobe to win the Super Bowl, that would be storybook, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't care how we do it. As long as we get the ring, we can do it 2-0. We can do it 50-0. We can do it in a 51-49 game, kick a game-winning field goal. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. You know, obviously my ultimate goal is to to win a ring, and that's really, truthfully, the only thing I have left to do in my career that I would say that's left on the table for me to do. You know, I've been an All-Pro, I've been a Pro Bowler, I've played in a Super Bowl. My brother won a Super Bowl, so I got to at least even the score with him. So hopefully this is the run that helps me do that. But at the end of the day, like, this is why you play the game, and this is why I get fired up to go out there and do what you do on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays to have a chance to be successful and maybe hopefully play in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks from now.
You know, I bet all Chicago is rooting for you, Robbie. We always appreciate the time, and in the offseason, come see us, okay?
Yeah, I will, for sure. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great talking to familiar voices, and, you know, I love Chicago, and it's where my home is, so I appreciate everyone cheering for me, that's for sure.
Good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, Robbie. Good luck, Sunday.
There you go. Robbie Gold, former Bears kicker, and, you know, we were dreaming about Robbie as the kicker here, right? Then would it work out with San Francisco? Would they trade him? He gets a deal. Now he's kicking in an NFC championship game.
Just checking, John Lynch took this job on January 29th of 2017. 3 years later, is it? 17, 18, 18, and 19, 19. 3 years later, he's got his team in the NFC title game. And
it looks like a team up front.
And it's built, to me, like there's nothing promised. To be the Patriots is so unique and so unlikely. But this feels like one of those teams. And obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to continue to develop. He's been very good at times. He takes some risks that he's gotten away with some tight throws. He's been picked up by his head coach and his running game and others around him. But this feels like one of those teams that can be around for an extended period of time. And what's funny, too, is if you go back and when you think, I mean, I don't know how many years you go back. When you think of the NFL playoffs, the NFC playoffs late in the postseason, my mind still always goes back to 49ers Packers. Like there will always be, my mind goes to the 49ers and the Packers meeting up occasionally and playing. So like it almost feels like to me that
so
this
like,
is a step in the...
You're talking about even after... You're talking about when Steve Young was the quarterback, Montana.
Yes.
Where the T.O. would make a catch against... Wasn't the T.O. catch against the Packers?
That was divisional round.
Like, I don't know why, but I've got all of these like playoff memories of 49ers and Packers. And quite frankly, I don't even know how many times that they've squared off. But when I think about the past, and I think about the NFC playoffs, I'm always thinking like Favre. I'm thinking about Steve Young.
Didn't
I'm thinking
Kaepernick,
about Aaron Rodgers and Kaepernick.
Kaepernick kicked their ass one year, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. That was at Lambeau, I believe, right?
Yeah.
He ran all over
I forget. Was it there or was it in San Fran? Mm. It was like a high-scoring game.
Kaepernick ran all over
them.
He ran
over 100 yards. Yeah. True for, you know, a bunch as well.
Was that the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Ravens?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm going before you, like, the Bears lost an NFC championship game to the 49ers in my lifetime. Like, I think in the 89 season or 88 or 89. And then before the 85 team, in the 84 playoffs, the Bears went to Washington and beat them and then lost to the Niners. And didn't your team lose to the Niners, too?
We did.
Not in the championship game, but
earlier than
the
that.
Second round of the postseason, I think it was.
Yep. That is correct.
So, the Niners, it's amazing, isn't it, that no matter if Bill Walsh is with that team or not, that you could go from generation to generation, and these teams continue to sort of
like from 95, 96, 97, 98... in 2001, all in that stretch, the Packers found themselves in the postseason playing the 49ers.
Well, you know what's interesting about what you mentioned there is it does feel like when you look at the 49ers roster, they could be ascending. Like, they could be getting better because you look at key players like Deebo Samuel, who hasn't really...
Rookie.
...yet. He hasn't... I don't think he hasn't even shown you the best of what he's going to do as an NFL player. You look at all the key players that... all the draft picks that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have invested on the defensive line, that they look like they can get better if Jimmy Garoppolo just kind of grows with all the players around him.
That division, though, is the toughest division in football. Yeah. Wouldn't you say? Yeah, would you say that's the toughest?
I think so, and yet they found themselves to be the number one overall seed. And Robbie, the point that Robbie made, think about the outcome. Think about what happened. They stopped whoever it was. I forget who it was. Was it the tight end for the Seahawks at the 1-inch line,
Oster.
If he gets in, I mean, this is an entirely different sequence of events in the postseason.
Yeah, sure.
That huge stop led them to have the number one seed, which gives them the week off. The Vikings end up showing up there, which is a perfect matchup for them. And I contend that this matchup is identical for them. Now,
would the Packers have had home field then, too? Who would have had home field?
No, I think so.
So this game would be played at Lambeau Field.
Would it have been the Packers or would it have been the Seahawks? I guess it would have been the Packers still.
Yeah, the Seahawks were going to be the Seahawks were still going to be have to play. They were going to be the 3 seed.
Now listen, Aaron Rodgers provides a significantly bigger threat than Kirk Cousins, but when these two teams met in week 12, the 49ers kicked their ass.
I know.
It was 37-8. They sacked Rodgers 5 times and they had him running all over the place from the opening snap. That was without D Ford, that was without a full complement of their defensive players. My thought is it's going to be equally impressive if you're a 49ers fan on Sunday out at Levi Stadium.
Yeah, more football conversation with Trey Wingo at 4. I also want everyone to submit their Would You Rather entries. I almost forgot. Today is a Would You Rather Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 4:30, and we have some
baseball
chatter.
No, that's football.
Gentlemen, pour one out for the beautiful folks at Olivet Nazarene University, as the Chicago Bears will be holding their entire training camp at Halas Hall this year.
What?
Yep.
Wow. I thought they had signed a long-term extension.
Beginning with the 2020 season. The Chicago Bears announced today the team will hold its entire training camp at Halas Hall, the team's training facility in Lake Forest, beginning with the 2020 season.
Oh, fans cannot be happy with that.
No, because, listen, I have you been to the new Halas Hall ever?
Not since they've renovated.
Okay, there's really nowhere. I mean, there's nowhere to park.
You may have like a day or two where they do a high school thing again.
Here's the quote from Ted Phillips. "We will host training camp practices at House Hall in 2020 while maintaining a public component to many of these sessions to incorporate our loyal and passionate fans."
Maybe you can get tickets online. It's still not the same.
No chance.
6,000 people in a training camp.
Yeah,
practice.
You probably can't get 600
all
people
right
up there.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe get JD on the line here, and we can incorporate it in Waddle's world next. We have breaking news. If you're a big Bears fan who loved to make the trek to Bourbonnais and Olivet, I'm telling you this. Olivet has done a first-class job of rolling out the red carpet for the fans, for the players, for the media. That school and that community in Bourbonnais, they've done a wonderful job.
I will say this, though. The fact that they spent $100 million on upgrading their facility, you had to feel that this was a direction it was going to go. I just didn't know it would be this soon.
Yeah, and look, I'm for getting the Bears prepared in the best way possible. I'm always about the team, but still, this is a tradition that many fans have done with their friends, especially where maybe you can't afford tickets these days. And your only chance to see professional football players up close and personal is at training camp. So how do you feel about this? No more Bourbonnais. Ted Phillips says there will be a public aspect to it, but it can't be as big as...
Say goodbye to the sweaty hugs from Greg Braggs. Say goodbye to
we could still arrange like an August meeting with Greg Bragg somewhere.
Well, the Waddle and Bourbonnais.
The Waddle and Sylvie remote broadcast from Bears training camp just won't be the same.
Hopefully we'll still
It'll
get
It'll be a home game.
I mean, I'm sure they're happy that they get to sleep in their own beds.
Of course they are.
332-3776. We'll expand on this coming up next. Inside Waddle's World.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
That's right. John Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. As our intrepid reporter Adam Abdallah informed us before we went to break, the news is the Chicago Bears have decided to move training camp to Halas Hall. They announced this today. The entire training camp will be held at Halas Hall. up in Lake Forest beginning with the 2020 season. Additional details regarding the 2020 training camp schedule and free public tickets will be available later this spring. This was inevitable. They spent $100 million upgrading the facility, and I went through it and got a tour. It is unbelievable what they've done up there. So this was coming. I just didn't know it was coming this soon, but home game for JD, I think, every day
JD will
now.
Be able to wake up in Vernon Hills and go cover Bears training camp, you know, and not have to stay in a hotel.
No more staying into Days Inn down in Bourbonnais with the big whirlpool in the suite that they used to get him down.
Yeah, JD, so this is, look, you always want what's best for the players, but this is going to be something that, you know, that has been a tradition for years and years and years that will end.
Sure. I mean, the only people I feel bad for are the people in Bourbonnais, that part of the state.
A lot of business there.
That always, well, it's not even, I mean, sure, the business, I mean, it's not as if, you know, Bourbonnais is like a, you know, bustling metropolitan, you know, community or anything. But, I mean, there certainly are some great restaurants and stuff down there that people will, obviously, this will hurt their business, so you worry about them. The fans that would just go to the practices because they either lived close by or it was something they just liked to do. Because, you know, if you live downstate, you might not always get a chance to get to Soldier Field and see a regular season game or a preseason game. So this was a chance to actually see the Bears up close and personal. So I feel bad for those people. And there are a lot of fans that over the years we've all met and established relationships with and everything. As far as the players are concerned, I mean, it's better for them.
Yeah,
the facility is very nice at Halas Hall. It is the trend in the NFL. I mean, very few teams now actually have these remote-type training camp experiences. There's that bonding, you know, but I think you can still get that by being comfortable, you know, being at home, you know, driving 10, 15 minutes to work in the morning, going to practice, then going home. It's obviously better for their lives with their families and their kids. I mean, some guys might prefer to get away for 3 to 4 weeks.
Right.
You know,
back in the day, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I wasn't running from my family, but I thought I enjoyed going to Platteville. I didn't want to be there for 5.5 weeks, but those are some of my favorite moments ever.
It's just that training camp has changed so much.
You're exactly right, JD. They were only in Bourbonnais this year for how many days?
For a couple of weeks. Yeah. But also, too, is, you know, you can't go out anymore. You know, guys just can't. You know, used to be able to kind of, like you said, it was kind of an escape. You used to roam wild and go out with the guys and hang out. And
Denise's, the VFW.
You can't do that. You can't do that anymore because there's always going to be some knucklehead with a phone or recording a video. It's just, it's not like it used to be. Even when Lovie Smith was the head coach, those guys went out. They had a lot of fun. I'm not saying that's what training camp is all about. But when all you're doing is basically going to meetings, practicing all day, eating meals, you might as well just do that at your home facility, which has been upgraded all the way. And they've got a great dining room now, a better dining room now, and all the creature comforts and all that stuff. It's just much easier for the players. It's easier for the support staff. And I will say this. I mean, I think if you are part of the Olivet Nazarene community, the Bears being there the last, you know, what was it, 18 years or something like that, 17 years,
years,
has absolutely transformed your campus.
Right.
I mean, you should see all the new buildings down there now, just the way that the whole school has changed because partly the Bears
have
been there. Yeah, so everyone made out okay. But again, I just feel bad for the fans that live there and would spend a good chunk of their August and late July going to those practices. That stinks, and we'll see how they do the free tickets.
Yeah, what I was going to ask.
The problem with Halas Hall, as far as housing fans, is that it's at the back of an industrial park, as most people know. So there's not really, from a traffic sense, it's not built for that. It's just not. I mean, Halas Hall is the back of this industrial park. There's a cul-de-sac. There's no stoplights. There's no stop signs once you get back there. So how are they going to do that? Now, they do have a lot more events nowadays, and they've built additional room for parking, but it's not going to be like they're not going to be able to have 5,000 fans show up at a practice at Hallis Hall.
What do you believe? Like, I was going to ask you. So, could they get 500 in there? Or can they get 1,000? What do you believe they could do on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't know if it would be like every day. They might just have select days. Probably that's what they'll do, is just have select days.
JD, I have to believe there's enough parking back there, not on their grounds, but maybe you could come to an agreement with a couple of the businesses back there that do have some space, and maybe people can park there, and then they give you a short shuttle ride.
Maybe. I mean, that's what they did. That's what they did when they renovated Hallis Hall the first time, like 2013, 2014, because all those parking lot, everything was under construction there. So they would have you park at one of those businesses and then take a shuttle. But remember, those businesses are full go during the summer.
Right. They're businesses.
They're businesses. So there's a lot of employees back there. I mean, they have built more parking lots. So they can get, obviously, a lot more cars in there than they used to. But I see probably like a lottery. I just think the days of being able to say, hey, we're going to go to Bears camp on this date, you know, planning it way out in advance, those days are probably over. They just, logistically speaking, they just can't handle all that foot traffic.
No doubt. JD, will this mean too, and this affects fans, some will roll their eyes, but, you know, with less fans watching and now they can control access more at their own buildings, will this mean that they will limit the access for you guys too and you guys won't be able to watch all the practices?
No. It is a rule in the NFL that when it's training camp, Sylvie, you have to be able to watch
practices.
Yes. So that is.
So you will tell us about all the Mitch overthrows.
So I'll be able to see all those overthrows. Sometimes they limit what you can actually report.
You're going to have to report them after practice is over.
Okay. Yes. Okay. But I mean, as far as our access, it's fine. Look, back in the day before Fox, when we used to be able to stay on in the dorms on campus, that was an experience. You know, you could go to practice, walk to practice. It was very convenient. It was fun. But once he got rid of all of us and he changed all the rules, it wasn't as enjoyable to cover down there. And this will be probably a little better for everyone all the way around, and we'll probably be able to, you know, our coverage will probably be a little better because it'll be, you know, you'll have the media room, you'll have all the stuff that we're used to having, so it won't be a bad deal.
Before we let you go, I'd like to get your quick impression of what they've done in terms of coaches that they've hired. All three of the guys that they hired, and they all may turn out to be fantastic coaches, none of them were in the game this past year.
No, they were not. So, you know,
what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, when you're hiring an offensive coordinator not to call plays, Tommy, you're not going to get like the top of the line, because a really good play caller is going to want to go someplace and call plays. That's just how it's set up. Now, Bill Lazor and Matt Nagy, they never coached together in Philadelphia, but Nagy has liked them for a long time. They have a lot of, you know, common friends. When Nagy got the job in 2018, Lazor was on his list. But when the Bengals announced that Marvin Lewis was coming back for one more year, that killed that. And then he was out of the league last year. Nagy brought him to OTAs for a couple of days this spring. So he's been around, you know, watching the team, because that's a professional courtesy that a lot of coaches will do with friends if a guy's out of a job. And, you know, he'll just kind of come in and watch some practices and hang out and everything. So, you're coming over to take over as offensive coordinator, but you're not going to call plays. I'm sure he'll be heavily involved in designing the run game, which is what the previous OC was doing.
Right.
And then, you know, Juan Castillo has held a lot of titles before, defensive coordinator, offensive line coach, lots of different things.
Should we not make too much of this, or does this feel weird to you?
Does it feel weird that everyone was out of a job last year?
Yeah, kind of like, I don't know what to make of that other than it just does seem a little weird. And I'm with you 100%. I've been saying this from the time they announced Helfrich wasn't coming back. I mean, who wants to be the offensive coordinator in title alone and
call
plays?
I mean, unless you're comfortable with that and you get a better salary by being offensive coordinator. I mean, look, this is how I would look at it too. You know, it's a lot easier to hire staff when you're starting out. Your first year, because everyone walks in, there's all this optimism, no one's getting fired. Well, I guess people do get fired after 1 year, but you know, most people don't get fired after 1 year. I don't think Nagy's in jeopardy, but this is a pretty important year, wouldn't you guys say? I don't,
yeah.
I think after year three, there's going to be a determination as to kind of where this is all going. So, I mean, I don't know, like, if the job security is through the roof. But also, it's a business of relationships, and these are guys that he knows, that he's either worked with or, like I said, has a lot of common friends with, and it just so happens that they were out of work last year. Yeah.
JD, thanks, thanks for JD. Coming on short notice, but big news. Thanks.
And I will miss those in Brickstone. I will miss Brickstone and Bourbonnais. Yep. And, you know, we did find this great hibachi place. Ooh. There's a picture of me floating around with a big mouthful of sake from over the summer.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
We'll go back to Tsukasa.
I was just going to say, Tsukasa's down the street.
I know, but, you know, they don't do what they do in Bourbonnais. You know, in Bourbonnais, we have our special guy, and he's got like a...
What's he do?
Well, what he does is...
You're freaking me out here.
It's like a one of those, like, you know, it looks like a ketchup container, you know? Like, and he's got... It's just full of sake. And he goes around, and he does like three rounds of sake bombs.
It's like a fraternity, sounds
just,
like.
It's amazing.
Tsukasa, you can order sake. You just have to, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe deliver differently.
They don't squirt it in your mouth like they do down in Bourbonnais. I think there's different, like, health code regulations.
Sounds like spring break in Cabo.
Do you have a shirt on when you guys all sit down?
You know what? I will text you both the picture of me from the summer, and now you'll get an idea.
Tweet it out. Share it with everyone.
I don't want to tweet it out, but I'll send it to you guys. And, everyone will miss the sake.
Yeah.
All right, JD. Great work.
Thanks, JD.
Thanks. All right, guys.
All right, if you missed the breaking news, again, what we're talking about and the reason why JD was on is the Bears in Bourbonnais and Olivet and training camp open to the public is now done.
Yeah.
The Bears have announced that they will conduct training camp at home at Hallis Hall, and there will be a public component to it. We just don't know what that entails, how many, and if you'll be able to pick the day you want to go like you've done for so many years in Platteville, then here in Bourbonnais.
I thought that there was a recent announcement that they had extended their contract with Bourbonnais. But with that said, I mean, this was inevitable. Once they decided to make the enormous investment, which they did, in their facility up at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, this was going to happen. And I got to tell you, if you're fortunate enough to take the tour, you will be absolutely overwhelmed in terms of being impressed.
Do they give tours for random people?
Well, maybe if you have, you know, if you know somebody. But, like, they have two or three, like, cafeteria areas. I mean, they have virtual stuff. I mean, they're
supposed to be one of the best in the NFL
it's
now, right?
Unbelievable. So you don't invest $100 million in your facility. And all the fields, they've done different things. They have, like, a sand pit that you can actually work out in. There's hills you can run. They've invested a ton, so this was going to happen.
This was something that was spearheaded by Ryan Pace, too.
Yes,
this was
Ryan's baby.
Well, there's not his only one, though. 312-332-3776 if you want to react. And speaking of that, Adam Johns, like, tweeted out, the Bears announced today the team will hold its entire training camp at Hallis Hall. This isn't shocking, like you said, but it will be tough for George McCaskey, who always liked the fan and team interaction in ONU. So my buddy who runs the Bears blog, his name is Jeff, he retweeted Johns's announcement. He wrote, I wonder if they'll tell Mitch about the change.
Oh, come on. That's not nice. Come on. Anyway, moving.
Can I take this call, though, real quick?
Sure.
Ryan in Naperville wants to add something. Ryan, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's up?
Hey, Waddle and Sylvie. How you doing, guys?
We're good, Ryan.
So, as long as I had JD on, I had a quick question. So, the state of Illinois has decided to basically screw Arlington Racetrack and not let them have slot machines. It's a great piece of property. The train runs right behind it. You've got the highway right there. The state will fund it with pot money. Let's get off the lakefront and let's build a brand new state-of-the-art facility in Arlington Heights.
I don't think...
Right? Is Dutchess Wah putting this up for sale?
Well, I don't think, Ryan, and I don't think there's enough pot money revenue that will be produced.
He hung up.
To build a billion-dollar facility.
Yeah, I think the pot money is earmarked for other finances.
Give it time.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if whoever would spearhead it, I'd lead the charge for a brand new stadium. I know it's relatively new, But man, we deserve better than that.
You know what though? Would you still be on board if it was outside the city limits?
Yes, yes. I mean,
I used to be against it,
but like, what advantage does it give? Yes, we're on the lakefront. Yes, it's a cool shot from the blimp with the lake and the but it's a hassle for anybody to get there. You can't go east.
Well, think about the difficult getting in and out. Think about the home field advantage our kicker has because of the wind.
Oh yeah, sure. Like, we've kicked 10% worse than Soldier than the opponent.
If that did happen, would you want it to be a full dome or a retractable?
Retractable dome would be my... Like, if you're going to spend $100 million on your facility, why not spend $1 billion or $2 billion on...
$100 million, spend $1 billion.
My partner, Waddle and Bezos coming to you. Dude, it's only
$900 million difference.
Bezos wants to buy a team. Maybe let's start there. You know, build a new stadium. We can have a Super Bowl. We could have a Final Four.
I hear is that the new stadium in Minnesota is like...
And it's not retractable.
Right.
It's a dome
stadium. It's a full dome, but everyone talks about it being one of everyone's favorite places.
It's one of my favorite topics to just like mix it up with some people who say, well, but Sylvie, outdoors when football's supposed to be played. I want to know if everyone loves being outside in December. Would you ever go to a beer garden in December and say, you know what we need to do tonight to your wife? We need to go outside and we need to sit outside and
do what to your
like,
wife?
Go out to dinner. Would you ever say, you know what would be awesome? Let's go to our favorite restaurant and sit outside today and have dinner there.
Yeah, no, I'm not going
to. No, but people say, oh, December football, sitting outside. You want to go to your football stadium and be able to hang your coat up. You want to be able to walk around with no jacket.
Yeah, I know.
And be warm and comfortable. No one sits outside in December. Do you ever go outside and use your lawn furniture in December? So why would I want to go to my football stadium and sit outside in
December?
I'm
telling you guys, my in-laws have season tickets to the Colts at Lucas Oil, and it is magnificent.
Yeah. No, I know.
No lines, no waiting. Every part of that stadium all the way around is an entrance. So there's no lines to get in because you can just walk in anywhere. The parking's great. You're home in like 15 minutes, depending on where you live. There's no lines to get out of there. It's so good.
And they can host anything. Despite being a much smaller city than Chicago, they do it big. They do it right down there because they have a facility that can handle it.
Well, we were having this discussion in the newsroom the other day with a couple of our new bosses, Craig and Mike, and just discussing about how going to a game nowadays is not nearly as appealing as it once was. And part of it is because if you're going to an outdoor stadium, everything about staying at home and watching the game is so much more appealing.
Booze is cheaper. It's warmer next to the thermostat, which controls the temperature. I mean, call me a curmudgeon, but I would never want the Bulls to play outdoors in the middle of December. Why the hell would I want a football team to play in minus 20 degrees?
Well, I think you can actually play football outside. I don't think you could play basketball outdoors.
Do you understand my comp, though, with eating outside? Like, everyone's like, well, that's part of being a fan is sitting outdoors. We do nothing outdoors in December that we do in warm weather. We don't go outside and sit in a beer garden in December.
You don't go to a concert outside.
Exactly. That's my point. But yet, it's character building or it's cool that we get to wear 8 layers and, you know, freeze our ass off outside.
That's not my choice at the age of 52. It's just not.
Build a stadium that's worthy of Chicago.
Not going to happen. Antonio Gates is officially retiring after 16 seasons. He's a great player.
He's Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes, he is. I believe he was more of a basketball player when he came out. I think it was Kent State.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even sure that he had a long football career at the collegiate level, but I know he will end as the all-time leader in receiving yards for the Chargers at 11,841 and receptions, ranked 17th all-time in receptions. Didn't play this past season, but he's officially retired.
Wait until Shaheen starts getting healthy.
Okay, enough out of you with that, okay?
The coup's coming. Just watch out. The coup's coming.
Would you stop with the coup? Nobody is cooing anybody.
It's easier to coo when you're at home for practices.
You come up with this silly coup idea, and then went to a different direction.
Yeah, he's going to overthrow Pace. Nice. It's going to be a coup, a hostile takeover.
The PGA Tour is instituting a new pace of play guideline. Policy will include keeping a list of its slowest players on a week-to-week basis and levying penalties for excessive shot times. Okay, Randy Merkin, that story was for you. I think it's a good idea. I like to watch golf.
I think pace of play in every sport is a good thing. You know how I feel.
Speaking of golf, Brooks Koepka says he re-tore his patella tendon in his left knee last October. He's going to be back, though. And this story from ESPN, and actually my buddy Bob Vorwald from WGN Television sent me this as well. Players to shoot pucks from the stands and new competition at All-Star Skills event. Eight players from the NHL All-Star Games rosters will stand in a section of Enterprise Arena in St. Louis above the lower bowl of seats. From there, they will fire pucks down the circular targets positioned on the ice below.
Is this for the All-Star weekend?
Yeah, for the
is that cool event. Or is that weird?
I'm not going to go because they changed it. Like, I was planning on going. No, I wasn't planning
watching
on going.
Anyway, what difference does it make?
Don't blaspheme. Whatever the word is. Retired NFL star Chad Johnson is trying out for the XFL as a kicker.
Okay. Good luck to him.
Okay. All right. I'll move on then. Cops threaten to arrest LSU players for smoking cigars in the championship locker room afterwards.
Stupid. Come on now.
Not allowed to smoke inside a building.
I know, but an arrest? Come on.
The funny part was I saw people comparing this to Len Dawson, the picture of Len Dawson sitting in a chair smoking a heater. The difference was Joe Burrow was smoking his celebratory cigar after the game. Lenny was smoking a heater at halftime because he needed a little bit of a jolt.
Yeah.
Little difference
it was,
there.
It was a big difference back then.
How many of the players
it was
you think
the nicotine addiction that was getting to Lenny?
Oh, I think my father-in-law, when they played back in the 60s, from 60s to 70s,
the
entire locker room was filled with smoke before the game and after the game. I think the late Doug Buffon used to smoke in the locker room as well.
How many of the LSU players asked Joe Burrow to buy them booze? Because, you know, he's 45 years old.
That gif is pretty cool, though, of him smoking the cigar.
A police officer threw water on the party when telling the national champions they could not smoke the cigars that burned for easily 15 minutes after
beating
them.
Isn't that when you just turn your head and you just
cough.
Don't watch?
Yeah,
Louisiana
turn your
cops,
head
too. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, tell us you. All right, maybe we'll do Waddle's World After Dark, and we'll get to because of the breaking news. But
want the Burt Ward and shrinking penis story right now, or you want to wait for later?
That's a good tease right there, though. Burt Ward from Batman?
Possibly. Shrinking penis Burt Ward. Four words I don't think you would have put together today before we started the show.
All right. I want you to hold
right,
that
Mallard?
For all of us later.
You hold I mean, Burt Ward.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of expected it.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. How do you feel about the Bears announcing that training camp is leaving like a public university in Olivet Nazarene and will be conducted at home? Are you cool with it because, hey, it benefits the players? Or are you upset because it will ruin maybe your access and what you've done as a tradition as a Bears fan? And if you want to get in on the stadium talk as well, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6 plus Trey Wingo. It's all next.